I receive my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Is it on?
Josh?
No?
No?
It's the purple one. Yeah?
God bless you. I'm Brother Sergio from Chile. And the Lord has provided these vacations for us. And we had this desire of knowing the country of the prophet and the saints here in the States. So it's been a blessing for us to be able to come here and to visit you and to greet a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. We are from Santiago, Chile. Our pastor is Brother Pedro Peralta. He also started in the 70s his ministry. And, well, you know, many of our church brothers, like Brother Fabian Palma, Brother Neri. So I hope that you are blessed with this song, which Brother Fabian wrote. And it speaks about, in my weaknesses, you are my strength. And in my loneliness, you are with me.
It's going to be sung in Spanish and English.
Padre, soy un hombre débil, sí, lleno de faltas, en un mundo de maldad. Pero sé que tú me guardas, sí, cuidas de mis pasos. Estoy confiando en ti. En mi debilidad, mi fuerza eres tú. Sustentas mi vida, Jesús. En mi soledad, me acompañas tú, no me dejas nunca, Jesús. ¿Cuántas veces he pasado, sí, por valles de sombra, rodeado de soledad? Pero has estado conmigo, sí, nunca tú me dejas, estoy confiando en ti. En mi debilidad, mi fuerza eres tú, sustentas mi vida, Jesús. En mi soledad me acompañas tú, no me dejas nunca, Jesús. las batallas que dan por pelear, no sé. Cuánto llanto por llorar, pero mi alma en ti reposa, sí. Sé que no estoy solo, estoy confiando en ti. En mi debilidad, mi fuerza eres tú. Sustentas mi vida, Jesús. En mi soledad, me acompañas tú. No me dejas nunca, Jesús. Many faults. I live in an evil world, but I know that you're always keeping me. You ordain my every step. I'm fully trusting you. Even though that I am weak, my strength is found in you. You sustain my life, oh Jesus. In my loneliness, you are there with me, and you never leave me, oh Jesus. Times that I've passed through valleys of shadows of death, surrounded by loneliness, but you've been all the way with me, and you never leave me. I'm fully trusting you. Even though that I am weak, my strength is found in you. You sustain my life, oh Jesus. In my loneliness, you are there with me, and you never leave me. Oh, Jesus. How many hard battles are left to fight, I don't know. How much more I'm going to cry. But my soul is resting in you. I know that I'm not alone. I'm fully trusting you.
Even though that I am weak.
Even though that I am weak, my strength is found in you.
You sustain my life.
You sustain my life. Oh Jesus.
In my loneliness, you are there with me.
In my loneliness, you are there with me, and you never leave me, oh Sustentas mi vida, Jesús. En mi soledad me acompañas tú. No me dejas nunca, Jesús.
No me dejas nunca,
Jesús. No me dejas nunca, Jesús.
Amén, gloria a Dios. Bueno, también... I was going to speak Spanish. But I can speak Spanish, you can translate for me. Bueno, también queremos entregar los saludos de nuestro pastor Pedro Peralta y congregación a todos ustedes.
We also want to give greetings from Brother Peralta, my pastor, and from the congregation to each and every one of you.
Y también pueden pasar a sentarse. Quiero cantar, tocar con el saxofón un himno clásico, Sublime Gracia, Amazing Grace.
And then I want to play just one more. I want to play Amazing Grace solo with the saxophone. And it's a classic hymn, and we hope that it's a blessing to you. right, well, we're just going to go ahead and have Brother Wade come out and sing. Let's...
Él quiere que usted toque otra vez, hermano, mientras que él sale.
Let's stand to our feet.
Bro Wade said so.
Amazing Grace, and then let's sing together.
It's Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shine.
Can't think of that though. We'll have no less days. We'll talk about it for 1,000,000 years and then we'll have another 1,000,000 to talk about. If you would have your seats and musicians, go ahead and sit down. We've got a special testimony this afternoon from Sister Esther Black. Come and give us your testimony.
Basically, I got saved, and here's how it happened. For a while, of course, I've wanted the new birth, and recently, it was just kind of like I'd get close to God, then I'd kind of go back out, then I'd get close to God. It was just a constant tug of war, and I was tired of it, you know. I had had enough of it, and so I just really wanted the new birth, you know, and everyone would tell me, you know, you just have faith to believe. And I was like, yeah, I grew up in the message. I know these things. I know the steps and stuff, but I was like, I don't know how to believe. I don't know how to get the faith I need. So, I was basically trying to do it on my own, which was the problem. Don't want to do that. So yeah, it was just a constant tug of war between, God and the devil, you know, and, so I just didn't really know how to be sincere in my heart. So I started praying and asking God, like, please reveal to me. Like, please show me how to get the faith I need. Just give me the faith I need. So I had started really praying about it maybe about a week before Brother Trevor came to preach. And so God gave me an answer through his testimony.
Amen.
And his testimony was that, you know, that brother FaceTimed him and he said, you know, just confess. And so I was like, okay, you know, I hear you talking to me, God. So me and Zach were riding in the car later and we were just talking about the services and we were just talking about that. And I was telling Zach, you know, I was really struggling. I don't really know how to have faith to get the new birth. And Zach was like, well, just do what I told him about how Brother Trevor had said, just confess. And he was like, well, then confess. And the thing is, I had said the words, you know, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. But, you know, I had said those words, but nothing really seemed to happen. And, of course, I had experiences at camps and stuff where the Holy Spirit would fall on me. But I was never, like, satisfied after, you know. And so he was like, just confess it right now. And it was kind of like how Brother Brandon would go in the woods and he would be like, 2 + 2 = 4, 2 + 2 = 4. And it would just get stronger and stronger. And so he just said, just keep confessing it. And so I said, okay, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. He said, say it again. And at that point, the presence of God was there, and he was like, say it again. And I said, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then he said, say it again. Say it like you mean it, you know? And I was like, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he said, claim your inheritance. Say it again. And at this point, I knew that it wasn't... It was God speaking through Zach. And not Zach speaking. And it was like a spiritual connection. And right there in the passenger seat of Zach's car, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so we got home, and he told me just keep packing the word in. Mm-hmm. Just keep packing it in, and that's what I did. So I opened the Bible app on my phone, and there happened to be Psalms 116 open. And I knew for a fact that I had it after reading it. Yeah. And let me just read y'all the scripture. It's not long. This is my new birth scripture. But it says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee.
That's right.
For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. And so, yeah, that's the scripture I read after. And it was the most amazing thing ever, knowing that my chains were finally gone and I had been set free. And I just thought that this part was interesting, but Zach ended up going downstairs to hold my dog, Daisy. And I was upstairs reading my Bible, and I just heard Daisy barking downstairs, like, really loudly. And she usually doesn't act like that. Daisy's, like, a good dog. And so as Zach comes upstairs, he's like, oh, my gosh, you wouldn't believe what just happened. So he said that he was downstairs holding Daisy, and she just starts barking at the couch like crazy, just at the couch. And her hair stand up on her back, and she's just barking, going crazy. And he said that he sets her down, and she's just kind of circling the couch, like barking, just looking at the couch. So he says he gets close to that spot, and the presence of God is just so strong there. Amen. So I don't know if my dog saw like an angel, a pillow fire. I don't know what she saw, but the Spirit of God was in that room. But since then, I've been pressing on as a Christian and seeking more and more revelation. And I was also gifted by God by something not many people have the opportunity to be gifted with, and that's parents that pray for me and press through and pray for my salvation, because I probably wouldn't be standing here giving this testimony if it wasn't for them. They're probably pretty relieved right now, but
yeah.
Anyways, thank you. That's my testimony.
Amen.
That dog saw a ghost. The Holy Ghost. Man. You need that?
Oh.
Yeah, you get all excited and you lose your face mask.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, now, who's next?
Amen.
Who's next?
Amen.
Amen. Who's next? The door's open.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Ah, goodness, what a testimony! And I'll tell you something else. That was Sunday afternoon when you was going home, right? So Brother Trevor comes to the house Sunday night, and I think before he talked to Bob on Monday morning, and he kind of was, he kind of was. He was a little dejected that that there wasn't as much participation the second service. And I told him, I said, well, look, we're just a cautious bunch of people, you know. We're taught to be cautious. That's the only thing I could say, because some of y'all sit there like you're stone-faced. And need them. He said, I didn't know what anybody was getting or doing or anything. He said, I just felt like it was, no, he didn't say useless, but, you know, I just didn't feel like anything came about. And of course, I didn't know about it, that Esther had, that had happened to Sister Esther on the way back home from his testimony that he had testified. And I'm kind of like Bob when he was at my house. I'm like, man, look, there's a purpose for everything. You're not going to get, I know for a fact that today with 90 people in the building downstairs and upstairs, maybe 30 of you are going to get something. You got to decide which 30 you are. Because the rest are going to, you know, they're going to work on their tractor, or they're going to, you know, be cutting grass or something in their mind and waiting for tomorrow to get here. And I'm talking about Holy Ghost filled people too. I'm not talking about just people that just don't care. Okay? Because that's the diversity of our mind that things happen. Not saying good or bad, but I'm just saying that I told Brother Trevor, and I've been trying to talk to the ministers when I was a young guy. Well, I wasn't young when I started ministering, but I was young in the Lord. If you base everything on the response of a congregation, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Right? But Brother Dale told me a long time ago, he said, and he's told you, he preaches to your soul. So your soul, whether you're sitting there asleep or not, may be getting something subliminally, like we were talking about through that fourth dimension, I told him, I said, Brother Trevor, if you keep basing your success on feelings and emotions, and then I took him back to where Luis, you know, he's got the 10,000 worlds. Brother Brown said, one soul. One soul. And Brother Trevor brought up the instance where Brother Brown said he went to do a meeting, and he said, I got the lamb that I was looking for last night. But he didn't discontinue the service. I'm sure those other people got healed and other people got saved. But the one you come for may just be one. So Brother Trevor and Brother Bob and I talked Monday, and he made a good point. He said, Brother Trevor, he said, once you preach a word, he said, the Bible said it will not return void. It will accomplish. Whether you think, see, where our expectation has got a slide rule. You know, we think, well, boy, I've been in congregation to where the people were shouting, speaking in tongues, running the aisles, and did not know what the preacher was talking about. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. So what'd you get? The man was bringing the word of God, and you were, you know, blowing it out the, not you, not our congregation, that's for sure. A lot of congregations blowing it out the whistle and not listening to what's being said. But see, Brother Trevor could have come down here the whole weekend. We enjoyed both services. Both services were good. I enjoyed his fellowship for a couple of days, and he got into fellowship with Brother Bob, Brother Luis, and Brother Joe and their families, because they've got big message families, and they can congregate together and bring a crowd with them when they come. But he just came for one person. Now, whether you got something out of it, it's your deal. But he came to get the word in flesh came to get Esther Black. Not discluding anybody, but she received what came, and you know what? 10,000 worlds. You can't buy what she got just by a testimony Sunday. You can't buy it with money. No money in the world can ever buy that. So, you know what? If you think, ministers, or even some of you that speak to people, if you tell them the word, it will never return void. It will accomplish what it set out to accomplish. It's not going to accomplish emptying hospitals. It's not going to accomplish saving everybody in the building. That would be wonderful. But it gets what? One here, one here. That's what we're in now. We're in the gleaning part. We're in the cutting of the corners, or getting the corners, like Ruth. They're leaving a little handful. God's leaving a little handful of purpose for one lady, Ruth, to get enough barley to sustain her in her life. So that's what we're getting now. And I just want us to realize that it's not always this was successful and this was not. Preach the gospel. If you preach the gospel, high or low, slow or fast, if it saves one soul, it's worth everything that any effort that we do studying and preaching and laboring and what Brother Dale's been doing, Lord, for 50 years now almost, or longer, is getting the people ready for a body change. But it also catches the fish too, and as Brother Branham, you saw in the, this morning, he was talking about, you know, throwing the net out. He catches the fish along with the frogs and the snakes and everything else, but everybody goes where they're supposed to go though. The fish, you know, are there to be eat. So thank God for Sister Esther for your testimony. And, remember Wednesday night, Brother Aaron will be speaking. Also next Sunday, I'll be in Arizona, leaving Friday until Tuesday. We're coming back. So we're going to spend some time with Brother Chris and Sister Joanna. And so Bob will be taking second service. Brother Dale will be taking first service next Sunday. And God bless our brother and sister and their family from Chile. That was a wonderful, wonderful. They just have a musical, a whole musical church. You know, where's Luis? Luis in there? Tickets are $750 to go to Santiago. It's 100. Yeah, I just looked it up. Okay. You want to go? Okay. We could drive down there if we could get across that Suez Canal, but the canal, we could get across that canal, we could go, but we can't do that. It'd be a long drive. Their country's 3,000 miles long and 200 miles wide. It's desert in the top, and they got glaciers in the bottom, so they have a very diverse country, but you know what? We all come from one family, the family of God. And he knew they'd be Chileans. He knew they'd be Americans. He knew they'd be all different kinds. And so that's why he loves diversity. If you will, let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews 9:11, and let's continue on. And for the sake of our brother and sister being here, we're going to kind of back up just a little bit and slow down maybe a little bit. I doubt it. But we've been speaking on eternal redemption. And I hope you're getting something from this, because that this thing goes on. You're going to be talking about this, and you say, well, boy, it's just, you know, when we carry on a conversation here, or when we carry on a church service or a conversation with people, you know, it goes so far, and then it just kind of dwindles off, because you got something to talk about, and then all of a sudden you've already talked about all that. So it dwindles down to where just well, how about the weather? You know, you change the subject. But not with this eternal redemption, because eternal redemption is going to continue to go on. It's not going to wane. Don't tell me anywhere in God's Word that you're going to start right here and then you're going down. No, you're going to start here and you're just going to see more as you go. And man, it's going to expand by revelation. Even when we get across on the other side, it's going to expand by revelation of all these great things that God has for us. So let's bow our heads. We've had a wonderful time today, and we want to try to get on with this and get to something maybe. Because I like this word. There's a word in the Bible that I love about more than any word in the Bible. It's called immortality. Immortality. Because see, that sums up everything. Immortality. You can put everything in there from what we're talking about, from eternal redemption all the way to the future home. Immortality. Paul says what? Abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Through the gospel. Down here. We know we're going to be eternal up there. Immortal. But we're going to become immortal down here, the Bible tells us. Amen? That would be that seventh dimension. And we may not get to it today, but we'll try our best. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you, number one, Lord, for being here with us. And also thank you for bringing our sister, Lord, into the family of God by the new birth. Lord, it's an oddity now in the end time for a young person to say they get the new birth. Because Satan has given everything in the world in their way to try to keep them from you. But Father, thank God the foolishness of preaching, that a fivefold ministry can open up a heart and Lord, pour your love down in that heart of an individual, not even realizing what you're doing as a minister or someone testifying. But Lord, when you go to working on their heart, Lord, that's something we cannot do. We can only produce the word to in front of them. And Lord, that's what we're doing today. Help us to present the word in front of the people so that they can receive, Lord. But Father, let us not be judged by it. Let us take this, Lord, and let it be something that we hold true in our heart. And it'll become part of us, Lord. We pray that you'd just be with our brother and sister and family from Chile, Lord. We pray that you'd be with them as they journey back, Lord, to their home, knowing that it's a temporary home. Ours is a temporary home here, but Lord, we'll all be together around the throne with you, Father, not too many days from now. Forgive us of our sins. Bless this day. Take care of us, Lord. Be with us, ones that are sick, ones that were, that Brother Joe there is creating the list for, to pray for. Lord, we just pray that the list will get shorter and not longer, Father. We know that you're a healing God, an on-time God, and you sure are a salvation God. Lord, thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 9, verse 11, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Obtained eternal redemption for us. And as we were talking the other Wednesday night, listen, for God to have a plan and for there be to be redemption, number one, someone had to fall. But it had to be a group of people. It had to be someone. It had to be people, not animals and plants and all these different things. We know they fell because of what a human did. They did not fall of their own self. Amen? It was human beings, someone with a soul. That's why Brother Luis there with the quote of Brother Branham saying that, and he could, only a prophet could look down and say, your soul's worth 10,000 worlds. How could you put a price on that? You can't put a price on it. One soul coming to God is worth more than 10,000. And look at the economy. Look at this world, what we have in resources and all that. 10,000 of those. One soul is worth 10,000 worlds. But to obtain eternal redemption for us, that's what made that property become so valuable. Because God came down in human flesh. And died, didn't have to, wanted to, made himself not part of the plan, but the plan. He was the plan of redemption. There's no other way to get redeemed. The Bible tells us there's no other way to receive other way to receive this immortality except through the gospel. And who is the gospel? Jesus Christ. He's the one that preached the gospel for 3.5 years, and that's what we got to work on. We got 3.5, listen, we've had 60 years of listening to the prophet, and he preached 30 years before that, so we've had about 80 years of this great message being on the earth. And what has it done? What has it done? We're still here. Like I said before, he blasted those denominations. He tore them apart. And not one church shut down. Not one organization said, no, we're going to quit our headquarters and we're going with this man. No, they've got more converts now to that false religion than they did when Brother Branham was here. So you say, well, that didn't do any good. He wasn't to them. He was saying, come out of her, my people. He was the one, he wasn't in the denomination. He was standing outside saying, come out of her, my people. Now, as he was preaching, he said the Baptists were okay and the Pentecostals were okay and they were okay for their time. Billy Graham, I believe, had the new birth for his time. He had a place in the Bible and that's what he came to and that's all he could come to. Amen? Is everybody all right with that? I mean, he was directly identified in the scripture by the prophet telling us who he was. You say, well, he never accepted the message. Neither really did F.F. Bosworth. He was still a Trinitarian. All right? So he didn't really come to the... and it's not a concept. This message is not a concept. This message is reality. This is exactly what Jesus spoke. When Jesus was on earth, this is exactly what he spoke. He was not a denomination. He didn't have a denominational idea. He didn't have anything to do with what man has done to this. Eternal plan of redemption. So if it's an eternal plan of redemption, guess what? Never changes. Always the same. Never changes. Will not change. And that's what we can depend on. And as Brother Dale was speaking this morning, you heard me amen more. Because look, we don't have to go through judgment. I've told y'all that. One of the greatest revelations that I got of this message is I don't have to stand a judgment. I don't have to go through the tribulation period. Sure, we're going to be, whatever you want to call it, physically bereft, or have to, I don't think we have to run for our life, but I think maybe we're going to have to be like Jesus Christ was. He, you know, just walked through a crowd and changed their vision and walked right on by. Amen? Now, if y'all start going to sleep already, I'm coming back here. I'm going to stand among you. Well, get me one of them big old whip things. Listen. This is, huh? What'd he say? Yeah, holy water. Yeah, listen, brother, I drown some people. Because look, hey, when they like this, you pour water in it, we'd have to pray for them to raise them from the dead. But you know what the problem is? This has become common to us. I'm looking at every one of you. It's just become common. I've already know this. I've heard this for 50 years. I've heard this for 20 years. This ain't, you know, this is just something we hear all the time. And find something to rejoice about. I rejoice that I don't have to go through the tribulation. But you know what? It's not just automatic. I got to learn what's in this Bible. I got to let the Holy Ghost tell me why I'm not going to go through tribulation. And tell me why I'm not going to go through the judgment. Because I'm being judged right now. And if you're being judged right now, where do you stand? Number one, Phoenix, Arizona. Brother Branham, let's read the red. It says, redemption is one of the oldest things in the Bible. Did you know redemption was even before the plan of redemption was laid out, before the world was ever formed? Think of that. God foreseeing, as Brother Dale was talking about this morning, we're not beating this to death, but I want you to see that by foreknowledge, this plan of God, and we ever get to it, listen, this all originated from that seventh dimension that no one can go into but God himself. But God allowed a prophet, sure, he allowed a prophet to go in the sixth dimension, amen, to see the dead saints. He said, where's Jesus? He's a little higher. But now remember, though, when Brother Brown said, let's go back into the back part of God's mind in Christ the mystery of God revealed, he took him into that seventh dimension. That is God alone. That's where his mind is. That's where you can't make God just being a brain. This is the mind of God. If you're part of the Word of God today, if you're a born-again believer, this is the piece or part of the mind of God that was before the foundation of the world, thinking about this as it's being revealed. So even, look, God foreseeing and making a way of redemption before he even made the world, where God plainly says that Christ was predestinated, foreordained, and was the Lamb of God. See, he was the kingpin. He was the one that he had to come and do that because nobody else could do it. So he was predestinated eternally. He knew he was going to have to die. The plan just didn't develop when he got here. Like I told you many times before, the greatest quote that's an eye-opener in this message is that Jesus did not come here to bring you an inheritance. In other words, he didn't develop an inheritance while he was here. No, your inheritance was before the foundation of the world, and therefore Christ had to come here in human flesh to fulfill what he already saw. Right. Everybody alright with that? Yeah. He fulfilled what he already saw in the back part of God's mind. That mind, you know, you can't, there's no way, even though, well, you're too young. Well, you're too old. Somebody's mind, Bob! He's fixing to be 46 years old, 46. But still, I need somebody in my grade level. Sorry, you either, buddy. But you know, we can, the people that Danny's close to, and Joyce, she's way older than all of us, but the way we grew up in our culture, we understand things that went on. you do the same thing. Like Brother Dale tells about having to plow with a mule. Well, now, how many of us have plowed with a mule? One person. So that's a generation. But now we look at that and we say, well, that was a generation past. But you know, it had to be. Like, that's why the analogy I'm using, the eternal plan of redemption, is God had already thought of this, saw it develop because of foreknowledge, and then he predetermined, as Trevor was talking about Sunday, there's a predetermining of each church age. Now remember, those church ages, there was a city built that had the character of the church age, but none of those people were the believers of that age. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? In other words, Laodicea was a city back in whatever it was, AD something, okay? But none of us were there. But the characteristics of that age, of our age, was parallel to that city's characteristics. So, you know what God's doing? He's saying, look, I saw what they were going to do, and I knew they were going to be this way, and that's the Laodicean age. And this over here is going to be the Ephesian age. And you know what? That was an age that we didn't have a tractor that we were going to plow with. We plowed with a mule. Now, we got these great big things that could just, hey, they've got things that just take this building in about 15 minutes and flatten it to the ground. You couldn't do that 100 years ago. Never. What are you saying, Brother Wade? By the advancement of man, you see the advancement of God. As we were looking at the countdown, we see a couple of quotes here on the fourth dimension. We were talking about that on the countdown. Brother Branham brings it, and we'll read it again if we get a little further. He comes to a place and he says, we've had an astronaut now. We got an astronaut now that has went out to outer space and has come back and told us, you know what he was telling us? He, the prophet of God, was able to go into that sixth dimension, see what was in there, and be able to come back here and say, hey, there's more out there. Right. And he came to say, look, there's more in here. Right. Way more in here than we haven't even touched. Now, Brother Dale read Ephesians 1, so we're not going to read it again, because he says, according he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Not chosen by him, but for him and in him before the foundation of the world. All right, now look at verse 11. In whom also we obtain an inheritance. Because see, you have to take hold of that inheritance yourself. Now see, Sister Esther was taught that if you're not born again, hey, Sister Webby. If you're not born again, you're lost. That's it. Period. You're lost. There's no in between. You're either born again or you're in the process, but still being in the process. You're not part of the family of God unless you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul. All right? So Sister Esther had to obtain her inheritance. Now remember, in the mind of God, she already had the inheritance. In the mind of God. Like I said before, If you read quotes and you can't keep those two separate, you get confused. Because he always was, you always were an eagle, you always were this. That's in the mind of God. Listen, I've read you, how many quotes have I read you? You were born a cucklebur. And I don't know if you have those in Chile or not. Do you have a cucklebur in Chile? A sticker? How would you say it, Luis? Something that sticks you, or something, a thorn or something like that? You were born a thorn. You were born that way. You were born contrary to God. So you had to look. And also we have obtained an inheritance. What? Being predestinated. According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And what is his will? His will is his word. All right. So he did that by foreknowledge. We're just going to skip through a lot of this. But let's go to number 3. And we'll read what the prophet said about being a cucklebur. So, but realize, if you read the quotes, you read all the quotes of Brother Brown, so you always were a wheat, you came here already eternal, you know, all these things, you have to listen to what he's saying. Right. In the mind of God, it's already set. Right. Down here, we are on free moral agency. Right. Yeah. This is free moral agency for everybody. So you have to obtain that inheritance, but he saw that you would obtain it. He saw that last Sunday that Sister Esther had had enough, and look at Brother Zach, you know, all the different ones that you have, those up and down. I mean, you know, still as a Christian, we have up and down, but there's not so far up, or they're not so far down. We have little wiggles in Christianity, right? Amen? We still have our problems. But now when you do, when you're up here and you say, oh, I got it, I got it. And then the next day you're cursing like a sailor. You ain't got it. Now when you may, when one may run through your mind, cause you can't help it, that's God's playground and that is the devil's playground. But you might have those days where you might want to say it, but there's something inside of you that says, nope. You don't say that. I don't do that no more. We've all experienced that. Amen? We've all experienced. We all still have the same memories and conscious effects and imagination. And we still have that same recorder that's been playing since we were a young child. That we wished we would forget what we did. But you know what? God left that there for a purpose. He left that there so that you can every day say, Father, forgive me. Now listen, don't ask for forgiveness for what you did 20 years ago if you've already asked forgiveness. You're just wasting your time and God's too. Because he's going to say, what you talking about? Because if it's been put in the sea of God's forgiveness, Brother Brown said, if it's been placed under the blood, no one can bring it out, not even God. Thank God, God can't bring it back up. But now, we had to come to a condition. As Sister Esther said, she'd been up, she'd been down, she'd been this, she'd been that. Zach was the same way. I was the same way. I just used Zach because you're right here in the front. Like Brother Trevor said, I'm going to talk about you because you're sitting on the front row. All right? But you did the same thing. That's your testimony, though. What if we did just come into this world? I may not get to nothing, but we're going to talk about this for a minute. We come into this world to have a testimony. Because the plan of redemption hinges on me. Because if I don't accept it, I'm not in the plan. Amen? But if I accept it and become part of the plan, then now see, that's the mind of God that knew. I didn't know that one day Zach would walk walk in the room and have a powerful testimony. And then, you know, Brother Trevor, if he sees this, he didn't tell me not to say nothing about it. But he said he was just having a struggle Sunday afternoon. I said, join the crowd. All right, join the crowd. But when he went home, he just felt really dejected. Went home, talked to Bob, but the next Monday, same conversation. I said, don't worry, don't let that bother you. If you walk out that door, and I'm telling you, this is something that you should do even in your personal life. Before you walk out that door, before I come out that door, I go right over there. You know what? The first person I see, because there's a big old full-length mirror right here behind this door. I look at that mirror and I say, God, though I be a castaway, though I don't feel like preaching, though you throw me in hell, you give somebody something today. Now, I don't go, now, Lord, give all 100 people, give them all the blessings. Now that'd be happy and that'd be real nice. Sometimes it might happen. I hadn't seen it yet, but I said, Lord, though I don't feel like doing this, that has nothing to do with it. I've studied all week. I've run things through my mind and listen, you don't run things through your mind. We're just not going to get in our sermon. I don't run things through my mind and say, well, now, Sister Christine, I know she's got this problem. I can see it in her face. And I can see it in the way she acts. So I'm going to try to preach something that'll just help. You can't do that. Listen, as I said before, I told some of the young ministers, you can't make something happen. When you, that's the worst part. When you say you or I'm going to make something happen this service. Boy, I guarantee you there ain't nobody going to sleep today. I'm going to have a message that's going to fire them up. I don't know how you translated that. It's going to fire them up. And then it's just like, you ever went down the road and had two flat tires? Right? But you know what? You don't let that bother you, though. Because I've prepared all week something. Doesn't matter if it's just a few words. How many times have I told you? You're not going to get this whole hour sermon or hour and a half sermon or whatever it is. You're going to get 15 minutes of something compressed that you're going to get and say, well, that helped me. How many times? Ministers, we know that. You walk outside and people walk by you and never say a word. Right. Nobody says good sermon hardly anymore. So if it's not, it's not. That's okay. Just tell me it's not. Say, hey, that wasn't good. But one or two persons, they'll grab you. They'll grab you and they'll say, boy. See, if you had Trevor here that day or the day after, what you'd say, hey, brother, boy, that was for me. And me only. Well, you know what? That would just change his whole attitude. Everybody got that? Same way I told you, when we have visitors here that are not message believers, how important is it that I keep telling you over and over again? I don't care if you've ever said amen or raised your hand in your life. That's your business between you and God. But please, when somebody's here visiting and they're not message believers. Now, no, these people are message believers. But we get people coming here and Brother Dale kind of got, you know, he'll move over and start, you know, talking about water baptism or one of us, you know, we'll weave it in there somewhere about water baptism and about the Trinitarian doctrine, and we just sit there asleep. Because you know what that person's doing? That person's going, that man's on an island by himself. He must be the only person that believes it, because all these other people are not saying anything. I'm excited that God sent a prophet. I'm excited that all the world is contrary to what I believe. What did Martin Luther say? He said, I want the world to know. All the world don't like you, Martin Luther. I want the world to know that I don't like what the world's doing either. But does that affect us? Are we so much cuckabirds that we just sit there and don't have any reaction? Listen, folks, we're human beings. Remember what Brother Brown said that time? He saw Brother Brown, I don't want nobody to brag on me. He said, that guy was lying. Right? And he didn't have to have no prophetic discernment to realize that. We're human beings. All of us are human beings. And if, you know, I'd rather Donnie to come back to me and say, hey, you need to preach that over again. You didn't do a good job that time. Then for you to say, good sermon, and then go home and go, I don't know what in the world he was saying today. What's that got to do with eternal prayer of redemption? I don't know, but we'll get back to it in just a second. Let's look at number 3, questions and answers. But look, how can I take a cuckabur and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. Just what I said before. Quit trying to make things happen. If you're studying for something, we're getting back into our Sunday school class, study for something for the kids and don't say, well, now I think, you know, this is going to be for Jonas this day. No, you've left the whole class out. Or this is just for Brother Donnie today. Or no, you know what? If you got the Holy Ghost and they got the Holy Ghost, or even if they don't have the Holy Ghost in the congregation, if they have a need and they need something, then guess what God's going to do? He's going to move you over. Right? Because we're only going to preach what you take. Amen? That's why we like teaching. And we don't have, you know, I don't say we don't like the other things, but we like good teaching, because what does teaching do? Teaching positionally places you in the body, as Brother Dale's talking about, going up to adoption, to be placed. When you see the rite of adoption, watch what happens. In Galatians, it says that you're under tutors and governors. Now, how many of us have been to school? How many of us have been to school? You know what school? S-C-H-O-O-L, school? And we really enjoyed every day of it, right? Especially some of us that was a little mischievous, like Sister Kathy. Just kidding. I'm sure she wouldn't. But that's what God's saying. I'm going to take you to school. And I'm going to give you school teachers, school marms. I'm going to give you principals. Now, how many of us really liked going in the principal's office? I didn't want to know that guy. So it's the same way with God. For us to go up this statue of perfect man and get into this adoption that we're talking about, which is part of the eternal plan of redemption. Amen? It's part of the eternal plan of redemption, because the eternal plan of redemption, some group or even just one person has got to come to an adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. I mean, if it's just one person. But you know what? If it's not me, I don't want to stand in the way. I want to rally behind whoever that is. But you know what the first thing people do as human beings? How many of you played King on the Hill? Do they do that in Chile? They play King of the Hill? King of the Hill? I don't. Somebody's on the very top of the mountain and everybody wants that guy's job. So they crawl up there and they throw him down. And you get up there and you got to knock the next guy down. That's the way it is a lot of times in the message of the hour. You know, they all want to be number one. I really don't care. I think we're in the right message. I don't think, I know. I know we're in the right message. I know we're in the right place to hear what we need to hear. I don't care who's on the hill. If God put somebody on the hill, you're not going to knock him off anyway. Amen? If God places somebody, you're not going to knock him off. Same way with adoption. I'm praying that somebody comes to that place. Are you? Where we don't have to worry about these viruses and have to wear masks and have to all this stuff. There's going to come a place to where Brother Branham said, we will speak and it'll be like popcorn popping. Pop, pop, pop. In other words, things are going to happen. But it's not going to happen if we don't have the new birth, number one. And it's not going to happen if we don't, if we say, well, I always was this great thing. See, you've put yourself on top of the hill. Let God put you up there. God's got you in his mind already up there. You just don't know it. That's why you and I, that's why we preach the gospel and we say, boy, we got old brother Zach today. You'll see his eyes. He's, and old so-and-so over here on this side of the church, he's sound asleep. Well, that might be the totally opposite, because you know what? You're not doing the work. God's doing the work. So you let God do the work. But how can I take a cucklebur and make a grain of wheat? You can't do that. Brother Bob, how many times have you tried to get your two oldest to be wheat? Y'all both got up here. You've been up here. I'm picking on you. But you know what? I'm proud of you. That we can say you have become a wheat. Your mom and daddy tried to beat the cucklebur out of you, didn't he? And mama. Maybe. But really, didn't? I mean, mama tried to save me for 30 years. Didn't happen. Because you can't do it. You can pray. But you know, one day, in 1998, it became possible by the transforming power of God to change me from my old cucklebur to the new creature in Christ. So see, the mind of God that I always was wheat manifested itself on earth. Just like the mind of God said, I've got to go die and become the lamb slain before the foundation of the world so I can cover everything and everybody. But one day, 2,000 years ago, next week on Sunday, what we consider Easter, he produced what he saw before the foundation of the world. And he had to wait for, how old are you? 18? Never mind. He had to wait some age of accountability, maybe 9 years on. But you know what? To God, it was just like this. He knew that. But we're down here, though. Mom and daddy's struggling. Mama's praying. Daddy's praying. Aunt and uncle's praying. Everybody's praying. And God's going, I know. But you know, sometimes he'll drop a seed in every once in a while. He'll drop a word in there and it'll settle in your parents' heart that my kids are okay. I mean, they're not okay like they are, but they're coming. Right? But you need to realize that though. That God will speak to you. I told you this year, please, this year, whatever you got inside of you, and I mean that truthfully, whatever you got inside of you, you need to let it out. Good or bad. See, you let the bad out and let the good in. That's the same way with you and I. This year, let that thing that's inside of you speak to you. Because it is you are a part of the eternal plan of redemption. Sure, you still got a cucklebur on the outside. Sure, we get tired and we get frustrated. But like I said before, our ups and downs are not like the world's ups and downs, folks. Like Brother Dale said this morning, you better be know you're settled in God. Once you know you're settled in God, death's not even going to harm you. Oh, yeah, we have that little fog or cloud that we think, well, I don't want to leave my loved ones, or I don't know what they're going to do when I'm gone. Not up to you. It's not up to you to pick your day. God does. But you know what? You can keep pressing and keep pressing and keep pressing. Doesn't matter how old you get or how bad you feel. You keep pressing, you say, I'm going to be that one. I'm going to be that one that's going to stand. Abraham said, hey, here I am, Lord. I can't do it myself. I've done walked with you for 20-something years. Hadn't produced a child. Got worse as it is. But now I've met you. See, Esther met Melchizedek last Sunday. Now, not that flesh Melchizedek. You understand what I mean? We've been taught right. It's not that Melchizedek. That Melchizedek couldn't save you. But the theophany that was in that Melchizedek that met Abraham is the same Melchizedek that came down in your house that your dog got scared of. Let nature proclaim. Let nature proclaim that God can come down into this dimension. Anytime he wants to, and he'll change you from a cucklebur to a wheat. And he's the only one that can do it. What John say? John said, if this don't happen, the rocks are going to cry out. If you keep silent, Lula Church, the rocks are going to cry out. Because there's been a life of wheat put in that cucklebur. And the life of the cucklebur has been taken out. Thank God. And he's the only one that can do it, because you know what? When God makes you a wheat, Satan cannot ever make you a cucklebur again. He can never make you a cucklebur again. He can pound on you. He can beat on you. He can beat on that shell that you got on the outside. But he'll never, ever, for an eternity, touch your soul. He takes his greasy hands off of you. Can't make you go in the fifth dimension. That's what gets me about people. You see what you got inside of you? By the new birth, you got a free ticket to glory. But if you do have to pass away and you're laying on your deathbed, everybody worries about that death angel. I don't worry about it. What's coming to get me is not a black guy in a robe that they proclaim that he's got a skeleton and he says, I'm coming to get you. No, no, no. Nope. That's not what's going to happen. God's going to send the angels. And they're going to walk in. And they're going to say, nah, death angel, you need to turn around and go back to where you're going. There ain't no death in this guy. You may take that to the grave. But we're going to a place that, you know what? When they step into that faster dimension, Satan don't even know. He doesn't know anything about that. He ain't got his greasy hands in that. Now, listen. I don't see how, but he can go in the seventh dimension where God is and talk to him. Remember that? We know that. He's the accuser of the brethren. So he goes up there and talks to God. But that sixth dimension, Brother Bob, he can never. I don't think he even knows where it's at. I don't think he's privileged to even see in that dimension. I'm sure one day in 1960 he was standing there in the fourth dimension scratching his head going, why is this man laying on the bed and I can't see a soul nowhere? Hello? There's a man laying here. I see the cucklebur. But where's his soul? Well, God just slipped him over into another dimension and let him see the saints. Didn't have to worry about the devil. The devil wasn't snipping at his heels. But he knew if he went back and got in that body, the devil would be snipping at his heels again. But not when he was in the sixth dimension. So in the sixth dimension is where we go if we have to pass away. So let's skip to that real quick right there. Because we talked about paradise, and I want to cover this. Y'all know we went through the fourth dimension being radio waves and all these different things. And then we talked about the fifth dimension, which is the sin or dead, which they're not burning in hell. They have not been judged yet. They have just been caught in a place that they can't go to heaven or go to the sixth dimension. And they can't come back here to the earth. They have to go to a place of holding. It's like a nightmare that you can't wake up from in the fifth. That's the fifth dimension. Everybody got that? Say amen. Kind of strange. There was a group called the Fifth Dimension. Remember Brother Claude preaching on that? And they sang the Age of Aquarius, which is the water boy or the man, the son of man. Kind of interesting. You know what? The devil feels all these religious things and he perverts them and make them out in the world. Like Trevor was talking about Sunday about all these superheroes. Where'd they get all that from? Where'd they get Superman? And it ain't going to happen. Right? But the devil wants you to think it can happen on the earth. That there's some, you can get bit by, a spider that's been in, come on people. You see how all this, Superman, you know, he comes from kryptonite and he comes from Krypton and kryptonite's the one that bothers him. See what the devil's doing? He's diverting everybody's attention to that and it's not even real. Right? Not even real. But it seems real to the people. They're like, oh man, he died yesterday and come back to life. Or he conquered the world. Or he moved a mountain. Well, I thought that was left for us to do. I thought that was a Christian could say by the Bible. That if you have the grain of a mustard seed that you can have enough faith to move a mountain. One grain of mustard seed. You don't have to have your planet explode. Or a spider bite you that's been, I can't remember where, oh, radiation. A radioactive spider has bit you and now you can shoot things from, you know, whatever. You see how Satan knows wanting to change. I was thinking about that when he was saying, Satan's wanting to change all that unreal to real. Unreal to the real. And then see, and they become a god in the movie industry because they can kill a guy and bring him back to life and they can have him disappear and reappear and they can have him walk through walls. You see what he's doing? But he's doing it though because there's a fourth dimension that he can work through. Right? He's a fourth dimension that he can work through. Then we talk about the fifth dimension, which was hell, but not burning. Then we got to the sixth dimension. So if y'all skip to that one, we'll go to that one and then we'll not be real long today. I want to read a real long quote here in a minute, but everybody all right? The sixth dimension on the countdown, Brother Brown says, now the sixth dimension is Christ, the saints, dead saints, or resting saints, who is completely work finished on earth. You see, I don't want to be here if God's finished with any of us. We want to go. You pray for 15 more years, you'll be like, who was it? Uzziah? He just made a mess of the last 15 years that God gave him. But he wasn't ready to die is what his problem was. He wanted to stay alive. Work finished on earth and has entered into rest with Christ under the altar beautifully. You could parallel it like a wonderful dream. Now you paralleled the other one like a dream you didn't want to go to the fifth dimension, to a dreamlike place, the sixth dimension. But he said, look, it's a wonderful dream that you don't want to wake up from. It ain't a dream. It's natural. It's real. But I'm just making a parable for you. And of course, the seventh dimension is God alone. Now, I want to clear up something real quick. We talk about paradise and we talk about the dead saints raising. And I want to tell you, just like Brother Branham tells us, somebody asked him where Enoch was. He said, I'm going to tell you, I don't know. That's what he said. I don't know. And if he didn't know, I sure ain't gonna know. But if he was supposed to know and tell us and it become a part of the message of the hour, God would have sent it. I'm going to tell you, folks, Brother Branham's message did not leave stuff out. See, a lot of people say, well, there was a lot left out, and we got to fill it in. Hogwash. Baloney. Baloney. Because rapturing faith lies in the books and tapes. So what we got to do is we got to get it out of there and present it to the people the way that it's supposed to be presented by the fivefold ministry to perfect the saints, just as the Bible tells us. But look, whatever, I'm going to read this scripture because some people say, well, some, when the dead saints resurrected, they come in their glorified bodies. And listen, we got some scriptures we got to deal with. Hebrews 11:40 says, they without us cannot be made perfect. Amen. Now, what is perfection to a believer? It's not just your soul.
Right.
Everybody okay? Amen. It's not just your soul.
Right.
Perfection in a believer is immortality, which means you were mortal and now you are immortal.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Right.
And I'm going to read you a scripture here in a few minutes where the Bible says that he's the only one that's reached immortality. So there's two scriptures that tells me one thing for sure. The only person from Adam to this day that's walking around in a glorified immortal body is Jesus Christ. Now there's others put in slots. You got Moses and Elijah, and you got Enoch and those different ones. Is everybody okay with that? But as we read this, the people that came up from paradise, they can't be in immortal bodies. Or you're breaking two scriptures. Why could Brother Branham not go to the seventh dimension? Because he had not become immortal yet. The seventh dimension, there's a man in that dimension that has come to this dimension, died, rose again, ascended, sent back the Holy Ghost. Amen? But he is in another place because Brother Branham, I'm going to read it. When he went across the curtain of time, he said, where's Jesus? He said, he's higher. Right? You can't see him, but when you get ready to come back to earth, he's going to judge you. We'll read it. You'll be gathered with your people. Remember, Paul's in the sixth dimension, no doubt, but he wasn't in the dimension Brother Branham was in or he'd have seen him. Everybody got that? We'll read it in a minute. Because why would Brother Branham say, did Paul make it? Well, now, if you're in a sixth dimension that's got millions of people in it, and Paul kind of got lost in the crowd somewhere over there. No, he's in a separate place because he said, you'll be gathered with your people. Okay, Paul was gathered with his people. Irenaeus was gathered what? Not Irenaeus, and it is Irenaeus himself, but it's Irenaeus's believers. It's the ones that died under Irenaeus' message. That's why you don't negate any church age messenger. Because they were all important. They all brought one message from God.
Right.
And they were put in that slot when they died. Because listen, I'm going to say this. The dimension that those people are in now, in the sixth dimension with Brother Branham sitting in there now, they're a special group of people. They got the last message of the hour. The Bible says the last will be first and the first will be last. So they are going to come up first. And we which are alive and remain, the Bible says. We'll never be alive and remain without what that prophet said that's sitting in that sixth dimension. We're not going to get another messenger. We're not going to get another great preacher to rise up. Somebody to get up on the mountain again. This is it. We're all equal in the body of Christ. We have a fivefold ministry that has a special gift. But there's no one special person anymore that we got to look to for our absolute. Amen? So the sixth dimension then is a special place for the believers that died in Christ. Because remember, also we looked at paradise last time. And let's read this real quick. In Luke 23:42. Ben, we're going about an hour, so we're good. And he said unto Jesus, right under paradise, we kind of skipped through a lot of this. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me. He didn't say in my kingdom. Because remember, he had some parts to play and things to do to establish his kingdom. Because his kingdom is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen? The new birth is the kingdom of God.
Right?
Right? That was the promise. That's they without us cannot be made perfect. Hebrews 11, about 30-something says, they all had a good report, but not receiving the promise. Amen? That's why everybody in the Old Testament, no one got the new birth. I prove that. We talked about it when we're reading Paradise. Brother Brown said they had to go in a certain place. They couldn't go in the sixth dimension. Now, where they went somewhere. A place of holding, bosom of Abraham, paradise. But now paradise is emptied up, and they're waiting somewhere to have their body glorified or changed. Everybody okay with that? I don't believe they're walking around in their glorified body right now. Right? If not, then the two scriptures, you got to pass those two scriptures we're fixing to read. That there's only one man received immortality, and that's the King Potentate. King of kings and Lord of lords. All right? So, you say, where are they? It's not going to bother me to find out they were. But I just don't see how that they can be made perfect. That's why I said I can't see how the woman at the well got the new birth before Jesus died. I don't see how the woman at the well got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in her soul and made her eternal before I did. Or before the 120 in the upper room did. Not me, the 120 in the upper room. I can't see that. You understand? I mean, Jesus even went to the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now remember, the Bible even tells us that was a promise. They didn't receive it right then. That was a promise that on the day of Pentecost they would receive it. All right, so paradise. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now let's read one or two quotes of this, if you don't mind. Number 12. Just keep going. Thank you, brothers. Now this witch of Endor, this is demonology in 1953. She called up the spirit of Samuel, and Saul talked to Samuel. Now, you might wonder how that could be done. It cannot be done today.
Right.
Everybody see that? Brother Branham says, it cannot be done today.
Right.
No, sir, because the blood of bulls and goats was only a waiting for the time of fulfillment.
Right.
When a man died in those days, preachers, back me up if you think it's right. When a man died, he died under the atonement of an animal, and his soul went into paradise, and there he stayed until the day of redemption, and his soul was in there. His theophany. Because your soul is your theophany.
Right?
Now watch, demonology again. Number 13. I can see Jesus go up there, paradise. There's old Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and them and their Samuel and all the rest of them. I can hear him knock on the door. Oh, I love this. It gets me right, feel kind of religious now. I can see, look over there and hear, who is that? Who is there? This is Abraham talking. Who is it? I'm the seed of Abraham, amen. I can see Abraham come to the door and open the door. He said, I'm the seed of Abraham. Look, each one saw Jesus Christ in theophany form, but they saw him in the revelation that they saw him in the Old Testament. Because look, Daniel said, look at here, there's the stone. Now look, we read it as the stone being hewed out of a mountain, not made with hands, and destroying the kingdom. Who was that? That was Jesus Christ. Destroying what? Destroying the kingdom here. Now look, and Abraham, there's one place where Abraham says, oh look, Sarah, there's the man that we fed the calf to. So in his theophany, he looked just like Melchizedek. I can hear the people say, there he is. I've seen him like dust under his feet, clouds moving. Now, this is Ezekiel. When the rams clapped their hands, the leaves, and all shouted, oh, I can see the different ones there in paradise waiting for him. I can hear him say, see, I can hear Job say, without that, I can hear Job say, there's my Redeemer. There's the one that's talked to me. There's the one that spoke to me when I was down and out and all those different things. There's the guy. He's a never-changing God. But look, they did never see him as a person. They saw him in the revelation for the time they had. Ezekiel, the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Daniel saw him as the Ancient of Days. But when he went down to paradise to pick him up, they had a clarity. They had clarity about who he was. Because you know what? They knew they were already passed on. They knew they were in a place of holding, waiting a time that he was going to come. And then there he opens the door. Well, it might not have been a real door, but it was a dimensional thing. Jesus stepped in that dimension and said, here I am. He'd already been to the souls that preached in hell, so he'd already been down there preaching to them. I'm the one that Noah preached about for 120 years that you turned me down. But he didn't stay there. He grabbed the keys from Satan and went up to the next dimension. Went to paradise. Opened up the doors. I can hear him say, come on, it's breaking daylight over in Jerusalem. You got to get out of here. We're going up because you trusted in the blood of bulls and goats, waiting for the time that my blood, see, but my blood's been shed up yonder on Calvary. I am the incarnate Son of God. All sin debt is paid. We're on the road out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you see Abraham grabbed Sarah by the arm, and here they come. Now look, not old no more. That was Abraham and Sarah. Not old no more. We were talking about that before, and we read where Samuel was brought up out of paradise by the witch of Endor. And what happened? He was still in his prophet robe, and he still looked like Samuel did, because he'd only been dead 2 years, Brother Brown says. He'd been dead 2 years, and he still looked the same. So what paradise is different from the sixth dimension? To me, paradise, you were stuck in what you were in. Everybody understand that? I don't believe the people in the fifth dimension are in young bodies. See what I mean? They're in the body they sinned in. They're in the theophany that, and whatever place it was, that's where they're at. And the condition they're in, that's what they are, because they got to come back here too and pick up their body that they sinned in and stand before the white throne judgment. Because they sinned in their soul, but they sinned in that body. That body's got to be destroyed just the same way as the soul. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. If that was too fast, I'm sorry. Let's read number 14. So we got to get done with this. Here he comes climbing up, brother. She's coming daylight. I can see the big morning star looking around the grave already. It's coming on the third day. Hallelujah. The first. Wait, he's got somebody else over in paradise. He don't forget nobody. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Over here in paradise lay some souls. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, and those who've been faithful. Believing the promise of the prophet. See, he's going through Hebrews 11. Right. All the great men of faith. But remember, they had faith in what? That he was coming. Now look, we're on this side not having faith he's come.
Right.
Coming. He's here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Who've been faithful, believing the promise of what? The prophets. And they're laying there waiting with only the blood of bulls and goats, a shadow, a type of his own blood. I can see him go up, paradise, knock on the door. Abraham opens the door. Who are you? I'm the seed of Abraham. I can hear Daniel, what? The stone I seen hewed out of the mountain with that hands. I can hear Ezekiel, saw him coming with such speed till it looked like powerful with dust under his feet. Oh my. I can hear the prophets say, I wrestled with him all night. That's Jacob, right? Wrestled with him all night down at the river before I crossed. And this is the part I wanted you to see. John, the different ones recognized him. So John recognized him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. He said, I see the results of that. I remember he got his head cut off before Jesus died. So he was over in paradise waiting the time. Just about 15 minutes before time with graves going to open up. My righteous blood has been shed for you. You were waiting on me under the blood of goats and bulls, which could not take you into the presence of the Father. But I've shed my blood to take it away. Now we're on our road home. Questions and answers. Number 15. Look, Jesus told his disciples, taking their communion, he said, I'll eat no more of the fruit of the vine until I eat it and drink it with you and you in my Father's kingdom. Is that right? So we, when the dead dies, a justified person standing in the presence of God goes into the presence as an immortal being. Now look, an immortal being, not an immortal, totally immortal. Immortal means that you were once mortal and now you're immortal. Because remember, whatever soul's in the fifth dimension, whatever soul's in the sixth dimension, they don't have their body they were born in. Hello? The body's in the grave. You don't take the body with you. The body stays in the grave. It's just the soul. The soul is immortal. You get born again, your soul becomes immortal. Takes you into what? Heavenly places. Standing in the presence of God, goes into his presence as an immortal being, immortal being and lives in the blessed realms of peace, what? Until the day that he returns back. Now, there was a time that the people didn't go into the presence of God when they died. Why? Blood of bulls and goats. They weren't born again. The justified, that was in the Old Testament. They went into a place called paradise. And there the souls of the just waited in paradise. But paradise was a place where God kept the souls in like a dreamland until the blood of Jesus Christ was shed. For the blood of bulls and goats would not take away sin. It only covered up sin. But Jesus' blood takes away sin. You notice that his, when he died at Calvary, and on his return he brought out from the grave those dead saints that had died under the atonement of blood of bulls, goats, and heifers. Let's read this rapture number 16. The Old Testament saints has gone into his presence. Paradise done away. He's taken the order of the rapture. Paradise done away. And the Old Testament saints ascended up at his loud voice when he screamed and gave up the ghost. Because why? The sacrifice, the propitiation of their sins that they had waited on, believed that perfect lamb was coming. They had offered the sacrifice, the lamb. And when he died and yielded up the ghost, he screamed with a loud voice, and the Old Testament saints awoke. Watch the shout, the voice, the same thing that is coming. Yielded up the ghost. And when he did, the sacrifice was perfect. Paradise was emptied out. And the Old Testament saints came to the earth, walked around on earth, and entered into him at his rapture. Now, I believe that. Because that's what the prophet said. But they weren't in no human body. Mm-mm. No. Wasn't in the human body. They were in a theophany body. The same one that they were in there, they were in the theophany body. Everybody got that? All right. David said over there, lift up ye everlasting gates, be ye lifted up. He led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. And the Old Testament saints went in with him. Now, where did they go? As my point was the other day, where did they go? Because they didn't go to the future home. Future home's not for them. It's for us. So they're in a place of waiting. In a city, because it's got gates. Yeah. But when Brother Brown went in the sixth dimension, he didn't see that. Right. He saw the saints that were like, he said they were just plains and valleys and hills. P-L-A, plains, you know what I mean? Not airplanes. Lord, don't get that started. Everybody goes, I'm glad he explained that. No airplanes, okay? In the sixth dimension, you will not need an airplane. Coming back here, you will not need an airplane. I don't know how that got started. Well, I do. The devil got that started. But anyway, it was not even a city. He never recorded there was a city. He just said people came running over the hills and hugged him and said, God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my brother. So they're in a place of waiting. They're in a holding place, just like the Old Testament saints. They're in a place to wait. Lift up ye everlasting gates and be lifted up. He led captivity captive, give gifts unto men. The Old Testament saints went in with him. They said, who is this King of righteousness? The Lord of glory, mighty and host. Mighty host, here they come in, marching. Jesus led captivity captive. Now remember, that had to be set just for the Old Testament saints, because that sixth dimension people are not in that group. We're talking about paradise. The first person that went into the sixth dimension after Jesus came back on the day of Pentecost was Stephen. Brother Brown said he was the first martyr. Right? He was the first one that went into that sixth dimension. He wasn't lonely after that either. They just kept killing every one of them. Amen? But remember, John wasn't in that group. John the Baptist was not. Now, we know John the Revelator was, but John the Baptist was not in that group. He's in this group of the Old Testament saints. Everybody got that? The Lord mighty in battle, the gates flew open, and Jesus the conqueror led captivity captive. Them that had believed on him, and the word had come to them, there the Old Testament saints laying there waiting, he led captivity captive, ascended on high, took the Old Testament saints and went in. There is one rapture already passed. He was proving there's a rapture, you know, in the Old Testament, and because that was an Old Testament rapture. That wasn't a New Testament rapture. That was an Old Testament rapture. Got that? The New Testament rapture is happening in just, hopefully, in days, weeks, or months. Some of y'all, it's already happened. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Number 17. And now in this vision, I believe I was caught up to that sixth dimension. We're going to cover that just for a minute. Looking back down here and could see back. See, the sight isn't exactly with the eyes. That's earthly. But sight is a greater thing than the sight that they have there. See, they didn't lose their five senses. They just had a greater sense. The sight that they have there, their contact is far beyond any contact that our natural senses would contact. Because remember, and you may not like this, but I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham was the prophet of the age, but when he went across the curtain of time, they were telling him where he was at, what he was doing. He was a leader, and why he's got to go back. So they, and even Sharon Rose was there as a young lady. I gotta wait here on Billy. You go see Mama. And even his first wife that had died didn't even recognize him as her husband. Nope. I'll read it to you. This is kind of long. I'm going to read it though, and we'll be done here in just a second. Then y'all can go find something that makes you happy. You stay awake for that. Having conferences, Chautauqua, Ohio, and something happened. I felt myself leaving this body. Now, I never had a vision like that. I, looking back, seeing myself lying there, leaning up against the headboard of the bed with my hands up. He was back there doing this. He wasn't like, no, he was thinking. Remember, he was saying, Lord, I cut a part of that out because he thought Mita was talking to him. He said, honey, you're talking to me? She said, she was sound asleep. You know, so leave me alone. But it wasn't for her. It was for him. And I looked at myself and I thought, I'm dying. And I started moving out. And the first thing you know, I come into a little place that kind of set something like that. And as soon as I got there, here come thousands of people and everybody looked young. Now I'm in a mixed multitude. I'm your brother. And you watch. I say this in the name of the Lord. You'll each meet me there if you'll be right. What do these people say, Brother Branham? You know what? He's the biggest liar that ever lived, or he's the greatest man that ever lived beside Jesus Christ. You gotta make that choice because the people that turn this message down, they have to turn this down. Every time Brother Brown says, I've got the Bible laying before me and I'll meet it at judgment. Now if he's as wrong as they say he's wrong, that boy's gonna split hell wide open. And he will not, I'll promise you that. He won't be the one that does it because he was telling the God's honest truth. Amen? You can say whatever you want to about dates and times, whatever. He gave us the pure message for this hour. Now, but these young girls coming to me, throwing their arms around me and hollering, my precious brother. Now look, when I was a sinner, I never run around. I wasn't ornery to run around with women. I don't care how saintly a man tries to live and how godly he lives. If a woman puts his arm around a man, it's a human sensation. Now you just might as well. I don't care. You can call yourself sanctified. And I believe in sanctification too. But you're still a human, and exactly right, and there's a sensation. Look, he says, I don't say you do wrong, certainly not. The power of God keeps you, and you go on. But even in that place, that human sensation wasn't there. And here comes people just throwing their arms around saying, my precious brethren, all the women had long hair, white garments, barefooted. They were young. Look at me about 18, 20 years old. They grabbed me and threw their arms around me and said, oh, our precious brethren, just hug me like that and walk away. And somebody else, I seen my first wife, which is what? Hope, right? I seen my first wife come up. Now, she died when she was about 22. She hadn't changed. He recognized her because she died at that age that they were in that dimension. Because remember, he couldn't recognize Sharon Rose because he said, in other words, who are you? He said, Daddy. Daddy. She was a six-month-old baby when he saw her last. Thank God that he showed us all this. And my first wife came up. Now, she died when she was about 20, 22. She hadn't changed. She came running. I said, surely she'll call me husband. And she walked up. She began smiling, throwed her arms around me. She said, my darling brother. Then she hugged some woman that had just hugged me, some girl. So something in there is lacking that they don't have their full consciousness. Because remember, he has another dream that Hope grabs this arm and Mita grabs this arm and they know that they were married to him and they walk up into paradise. We can call paradise what we're going to. But I'm not, now I've left the paradise though that God set for the people in the Old Testament. I've left that. But we are going to the paradises of God. Amen? Because paradise means a wonderful place. Alright, so look. And here come people just throwing their arms around me saying, my precious brother. And all the women had long hair. Now look at E68. And here come men. Looks like they, I quoted this and I knew I'd read it. I think it was Brother Timbo. He's not here, but he said, where'd Brother Brown say that we'd have shaggy long hair? Well, read it for yourself. And here come men, look like they were in kind of shaggy hair down on their shoulder. That's when cucklebur and wheat becomes wheat. You cucklebur now, don't walk in here with no shaggy long hair down to your shoulder. Unless you got a Nazarite vow, which means, well, you know what it all means. If you can do that, God bless you, have it to your down to your waist. I don't care. But you can't do it. Not if you've been married, you can't do it. Hello, somebody. Shaggy hair down on their shoulders, because look, it's all been done away with there. All the sexual stuff and all that's what Brother Brown's saying. He said them women just hugging him, and they must have felt like women. But there was no sensation there, because you know what? You don't lose your body. You have your theophany is what you are. All right, here come men. Look like we were kind of shaggy hair down on their shoulder, and they were the nicest looking people I ever seen. Eyes were starry, pearly white teeth. Thank God, no dentist in glory. Right, Sister Esther? Right. Everybody's had teeth work done. They were throwing their arms around me saying, oh, our precious brother. And one of them hollered at the other one, said, think, he's arrived. He's arrived at last. They were looking for him to come. They were looking for it. There had to be some kind of connection there, some kind of pull from this dimension to that dimension for them to know he's arrived at last. And I thought, have I died? And this is, I've come into glory. Is this it? And I thought, it couldn't be. Because remember, his revelation before that was, is that he would be on a cloud, Brother Neville would be on a cloud, and they would just pass each other, and he said their hand wouldn't even be able to shake hands. Remember the old thing where we all gonna play harps and sit on the cloud and play harp? Yeah. I'm in trouble. Yeah. Our brother back there, he may be able to play one, but I want to be able to throw my arms around somebody, because that's what it, that we're humans. They were throwing their arms around me saying, oh, our precious brother. And one of them hollered, think, he's arrived. He's arrived at last. And I thought, if I died. And I looked, and that voice that had spoke to me down in my room, I heard it again. I looked back and I seen myself laying there on the bed. I never had anything like that to happen. It's done something to me. I can never be the same no more. I looked, I thought, what is this? I thought, well, all them people looking young, and I looked down and I was young. If you're born again today, and now the older people need to start running the aisles, well, walking the aisles maybe. But if you're born again today, and I'm not being silly, your soul is a 20-year-old soul. Amen. Hallelujah! You got changed. You got a new birth. When he birthed you back to a young man and woman. It's just the cucklebur's got to get changed. What is this, I thought? Well, all them people look young. I looked down, I was young. I had turned back to a young man again. I said, well, this is strange, and I looked. I can't explain it. There's no words that I can think of. If I'd say superb or sublime or perfect, that wouldn't touch it. There was no tomorrow. There was no yesterday. There, they were in eternity. And they never got tired. They never had to eat. Yet they had senses. I could feel them. They could speak. They were looking at me. They had senses. I said, I don't understand this. That voice says, this is perfect love. Isn't that what you spoke the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit was? I said, yes. And this is perfect love. So everybody in that dimension had perfect love, which was the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. And just then a beautiful young woman ran up and said, oh, my darling brother. She said, we're so happy to see you. Welcome. And she walked away. I said, praise the Lord, sister. I looked around. Then I thought, what is this? Now, he didn't know who she was. Who was this? I thought, what is this? What's going on? What happened? The voice said in the Bible where it said that Jacob was gathered with his people. And the other one, this is likened unto that, where you will gather with your people. I said, all them Branhams? I never believed there was that many. He said, they're not Branhams. They're your converts. said, that woman that you're admiring, you know how old she was when you led her to Christ? I said, I have no idea. He said, past 90. Said, see, she's young forever. And she looked up at me and said, Brother Branham, Jesus will come someday, and then we'll go back to earth. Said, then we'll receive our glorified body. Then we'll live together forever. She had a pretty good revelation. A little bit better than the prophet had at that moment in time. Boy, it didn't go over good. Well, I'm just reading what he said. Right? Oh, let me see Jesus. Oh, you was a leader. You led us. Oh, let me see Jesus. If I've passed over, I want to see him. And that voice said, you can't see him now. He will come and be first. You know why he couldn't see him? Number one, he was looking at his body right there. That sixth dimension is the body of the believers, the body of Jesus Christ. You're the body of Jesus Christ, not your human body, your glorified body. And that voice said, you can't see him now. Said, he will come, but first he will come to you and said, judge you by the gospel you preached. And then I took the part out, save time. He said, well, did Paul make it? The angel said, Paul made it. He said, well, glory to God, I'll make it too, because I preached just what Paul preached. All right. Amen. Let's read this one right here real quick. Number 19. I know a little bit long, but you know, if you're going to sleep, I'm going to preach a little longer. It won't be gone to you because you'll be gone for 20, 30 minutes. The achievement's been proved by science. You know, there's a brother. Who's that brother telling me the other day? There's a brother watches this online. Luis told me. And his, remember one service I told y'all to wake up? That's his ringtone. When somebody calls him on his phone, he put that, right, Louis? Yeah. He put that on his ring. Wake up, it's only been 15 minutes. Yeah, wake up, it's only been 15 minutes. That's his ringtone when somebody calls him. Wake up! I'm famous. I know some of you want me to be an emoji, but I wouldn't want to see it. The achievement's been proved by science. They showed it out yonder at the World's Fair. Now watch, he's preaching the countdown. We got it. Amen, it's being proved everywhere. Astronaut age we're living in. It was made of things which do not appear. He's talking about the creation of the world. See, it was made of something out of heaven. It's God himself here in that sixth dimension. It's the power of God. We've been in such a place that we have been lifted up into that dimension beyond this thing of going to the grave and weeping. He's talking about himself. But he's talking about an astronaut has been taken to a place, a dimension. He's the one that went in the sixth dimension. We'll see them there. Now look, they switched up on me here. Oh, right there. Thank you. This thing of putting the crepe on the doorknob and saying goodbye forever. Hallelujah. We done got in the astronaut and sailed off out yonder and seen where it's at and look and returned back. Glory, we're going to the home beyond the sky yonder, beyond the reasoning of man, how the old will be transformed into the moment of twinkling of an eye. We shall see them there, old men and women, young again. How do you know? The Bible teaches it, and God shot an astronaut up in there. We know what it's all about and come back. There's no worry about dying. Remember he said afterwards, he said, I'm not going to worry about dying no more. Dying's nothing. Sure, it's living. Yes, sir, it's just getting your feet off the ground so we can go. How wonderful. Glory. So that we can go. Now, I want to read two scriptures to you real quick and we'll be done. Because we'll get into the seventh dimension later on. Because remember, the seventh dimension is what? God alone. Everybody all right? 1 Timothy 6, verse 15 says, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now look, it's capital K, lowercase k, capital L, lowercase. He's talking about us. Transforming from mortal to immortality. Look, verse 16. Who only hath immortality. Now what does immortality mean? That means you were once mortal. See, the angels can't say that. Satan can't say that. Satan cannot be immortal. He was never immortal to begin with. Angels were never mortals to begin with. But you and I were mortals. Everybody that's going to die, that's lived on this earth, look, is either in the fifth dimension or sixth dimension. Or still alive in the first three. Amen? There's nothing else. There's no peripheral. There's no other universe that we've got people on. I don't believe that. who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. So the seventh dimension is only Jesus Christ. Because he was once a mortal, and now he's become immortal. Everybody got that? Whom no man hath seen nor can see. You know why Brother Bram couldn't see him? Because of that scripture right there. He was barred from seeing him by that scripture right there. To whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Let's read 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his what? Own purpose and grace. Sounds like Ephesians 1. Which was given us what? In Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. A way that you and I can become immortal. Is only through the gospel, the preaching of the gospel by the fivefold ministry. That's the only way you're going to become immortal.
Right.
You can't press play and become immortal.
Right.
Part of it, but not all of it.
Right.
Let's stand to our feet. Musicians come. We're going to sing one song. Who's Michael? You coming? Okay. We'll sing one song. It's 4 o'clock. God bless you. We love you. Pray for us this next weekend. We're going to be at Brother Chris's. For about 5 days, so we'll be having a little time of fellowship out there. But just pray for us with our plane flight and all that stuff. Keep us safe by the grace of God. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Listen, you're part of the plan. Listen, you're part of the plan whether you want to be or not. Because there's a place for the fifth dimension people. Amen? You just got to what? You've got to obtain an inheritance. You've got to do like Sister Esther said. You've got to just say, I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Now listen, we all have troubles and heartaches. We know that, like I said before. But listen, they should not be like what we had out in the world. Then you don't have nobody to talk to. You're talking to the same dude that made you that way. I'm talking about the devil. But our ups and downs can't be like they were before. Look at that chaos that's going on out there in the world. Read some of the stuff that's going on out there in the world. And they say they're normal. Listen, we got a transgender by the stupid people that somebody elected, have got a transgender woman man as our health director. She was an ugly man. She's the worst ugly woman. But I'm just saying, listen, God's going to have to raise Sodom and Gomorrah and totally apologize if he don't destroy this nation. And what that person's trying to do is instigate that we give our kids, have you read about this? A puberty pill to keep them from going through puberty so they can decide what sex they are. Y'all can look at each other if you want to, but that's exactly, you read the right paper, don't read the stupid stuff you're reading. Amen? Go read what Australia's saying about the United States. The biggest idiot of a president that's ever been in the face of the earth. Can't even hold a press conference. And here we are, great America, think we're so great. The only great thing, people, is God. But see, you see what they're going to do, though. If they start requiring that you do that to your children, you better never do that. They're requiring, they're talking about it. Doing some kind of hormone replacement and waiting for your kids to come of an age where they can decide whether they want to be a man or a woman. That's insanity. If Brother Branham said we were that far from insanity, we have went all the way over on the other side and made a circle all the way back. But that's what we're looking at. So they're calling us abnormal because we're Christians and we have calm in the storm and we don't talk about all that stuff. And you know, we do have problems. We do have, everybody's got issues. We're human. But your issues should not dictate your Christianity. Your Christianity should dictate your issues. You want me to say that one more time? Listen, I agree 100%. We should be careful. But listen, There's some people that ain't going to darken these doors again just because of this virus. They're going to say it's an excuse from now until the day that Jesus comes.
Exactly.
Sorry, but that's just the way it is. But you know what? It's separating time. It's to find out whether you're going to make it or not going to make it.
Right.
We're going to make it.
Amen.
We're going to make it.
Amen.
Somebody's going to make it. I'm just dumb enough to attach myself to it.
Amen?
Amen. I just think that we've come to a time that right now is a decision time.
Right.
You're going to have to decide this year who you're going to serve. Because
right.
It's going to get worse, not better.
Right.
We see all these policies and stuff coming up. We may not even be able to meet in 6 months. Who knows that?
Right.
We don't know. They're taking away our guns. I really don't care. You know what? Because I believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not an assault rifle.
Right.
Okay? But I still like my hunting guns where I can go hunting when I want to. That's a right. That's not a privilege. I have a right to do that.
Amen?
Amen? Get off of that. Sing a song. Just start singing a song, would you, while I'm doing that.
Touching Jesus is all that really matters.
And your life will never be the same.
And there's only one way to touch Him.
That's what? And
just believe when you call on His name.
Sing it to it now. If you need a touch from the Lord,
cause touching Jesus is all that really matters.
Yes, Lord.
And your life will never be the same.
Just think about where you came from and what you are now.
One way to touch Him.
And
just believe when you call on His name. Cause touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same.
Now I pray that as this prayer call goes and touches our sisters, Lord, that it'll do exactly what it said it would do, Lord. That by your stripes we're already healed, and that evil spirits that will go away from where they are, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for saying that. Sing it one more time. Oh,
touching Jesus is all that really matters.
Oh,
and your life will never be the same.
But
there is only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on His name.
You know, you think about all those people in the Old Testament. See, we can look back and we can see that a Savior died. We know that Jesus Christ came, and but still we have to believe it by faith, because we didn't see it physically with our physical eyes. But they had to believe it. A virgin shall conceive. Back in in the BC, they had to believe all that. And they died having a good report, the Bible says. What? Believing that was one coming. Ezekiel said, I know that wheel is coming. I know. Daniel said, I know that Ancient of Days is coming. Even David in the Psalms, I'm sure he in his revelation saw Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But when they saw that person, they identified exactly who He was.
Amen.
When you and I receive the new birth, you ought to be able to identify that person that comes to you. Because He's not going to just come to you. He's going to live in you. And that's like the song says, your life will never be the same. But there's only one way to touch Him. And that's believe when you call on His name. Let's as we dismiss our brother and sister, God bless them. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing your time with us. Thank you for coming by our way. Amen. Maybe we'll try to get your way sometime. Amen. And get to visit with them. If not, then you know what? We'll have 1,000 years in the millennium. We can visit for 1,000 years. So that's going to be hard for Aaron to do that, 1,000 years. But maybe when we get into eternity. But remember him. He'll be speaking Wednesday night. And then we'll be off on a journey wherever they're getting ready to go. You going back home now or? Utah? We got to really pray for this man. Maybe you can teach those people out there something. Amen, but let's pray for them. They're going to travel around the United States and see this great country. And listen, it is the great country as far as the country. But politics is just dead rotten. And we've let it somehow worm its way into our lives where I thought we'd come over here to get away from that. So, our founding fathers, George Washington and all them, would turn over in their grave if they saw what was going on now. But you know, you pray for your pastor. That's the most important person you need to pray for. Pray for your pastor and the spiritual leaders in the church, because them you ought to be able to depend on. Everything else you can't depend on. You can depend on nothing else. Amen? So let's bow our heads. Remember Brother Aaron, like I said, Brother Dale and Brother Bob next weekend. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your great name, Lord. We thank you that you've given us time that we are being able to stand in front of the bride of Jesus Christ, the most important people on the face of the earth today at this moment, Lord. And I pray that you would just bless each one, Lord, that goes from this building, Lord, as the wheels turn, Lord, may you be with them. Also be with our brother and sister and their wonderful family as they travel around the United States. Lord, give them shelter. Give them peace, Lord, and may everything work out well, and then return back home will be safe, Father. We ask your blessings on ones that are sick, ones that are not with us, Lord. We pray that we'll all get a rejuvenation from the Holy Ghost, Lord, this tonight and tomorrow morning as we go back out in the world and not in the world, but we go out there and we have to rub shoulders with the devil. But Lord, you told us that we had a hiding place. We had a pavilion, as Sister Esther read that scripture, Lord. We have a place to run into to hide, and that's in you, Father. Thank you for all these things you've given us. Thank you for the word you've given us, the shield and the sword and all the different armor pieces that we can fight, Lord, with. You give us something to fight with, and that's the word of God. Father, just be with the pastor. Keep him strong. Bless each one this whole week. Be with the ones, surely, Lord, that are sick, that haven't been here in a while. We pray that you just rejuvenate them and bring them back together in you, Father. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and the bride of Jesus Christ says, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Oh, touching Jesus.